Good morning, everybody. So you may have noticed, those of you that are highly perceptive, you may have noticed that there are stickers on your program. This is our effort at recycling them and updating them. You see, originally this was the program, and today's sermon was scheduled for January 13th. But you might be aware that we had a snow day. Yeah. So we had a snow day and we stayed home. And so we wanted to bring this back, make sure that this was stuff that we covered. And I know there was some interesting data, though, with the snow day thing. I thought, wow, we had a pretty good viewing on that. So I thought, wow, maybe we should just, I'll just stay home and send in a video. And we might get a better response. We'll see. Or maybe it was the 10-minute thing. I don't know. It could have been the 10-minute thing. But anyway, there was a good response on that, good showing. So on January 13th, what we had planned to do, we'd planned to kind of recap the year and then consider a few things as we're moving forward. You know, kind of the idea of where are we going, right? Where are we going in 2019? And so I'm going to still cover a lot of that. And so you'll see you got four passages inside your program, and these four passages kind of relate to each piece of this that I wanted to just kind of talk, you know, to you guys about this morning. And so the first one, we're going to kind of back up a little bit and not just recapping last year, but this is going to kind of pull us back. And in 1999, and some of the folks that we had our membership class yesterday morning, and so some of the folks heard about this a little bit, so this will be a repeat for you. Some, hopefully, this will be a reminder for you. But back in 1999, I was sitting on a mountainside, a mountain ridge in Colorado, and I was practicing this how to spend a day in prayer thing, right? And for those of you who were here Christmas Eve, we handed out these small little booklets to each of you. I would highly encourage you to make the time, right? Make the time to go spend a day in prayer. I was doing this. It was something I had been introduced to by a guy, Lorne Sanney, who was a vice president of the Navigators. He had written the book, and he had introduced me to this thing, and so I was out doing that, and it was during a time of spending an extended time in prayer alone with God that God gave me the dream of Real Life Chapel, okay, back in 1999, right? So it kind of started there. Took a little while before it came to fruition, but that's where it started. Once you look at this first passage, Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, because this became kind of a foundational verse for us when we started Real Life Chapel. Because, and if you look in your programs, you'll see that in the, you know, I've got 1996 New Living Translation there. Didn't write it up here, but we had it on the thing because they changed it. When they change some of these translations, sometimes they drop or add words just for emphasis. But in the 1996 version, what the one I had on that hillside that day, and God was speaking to me, it had the word real in there, and that's really where it stood out. And it started, it says, "For you died when Christ died, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God." But then it goes on and it says, "And when Christ, who is your real life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory." So that's really where this was even came. The whole idea of Real Life Chapel, the name was birthed out of this verse and what God was speaking to me that day. You know, we ended up coming up with all kinds of, you know, sayings. And, you know, we had one, it's not about religion, just real life. And that was kind of supposed to be a hook to put out there for people to wonder what that really meant, right? Because there was some that looked at that and went, that's interesting in a positive way. And there were some people that went up there and went, yeah, I knew they probably weren't about God anyway, right? But we wanted people to look into it because what we meant by that, when we said it's not about religion, it's about real life, we were referring to this verse. What we were saying was it's not about institutionalized religion, it's about Jesus Christ. Because he is our real life. So that's where that was birthed out of. And it would take nearly 10 years. There's a few of you that are in the room this morning. There's a couple of people in the room this morning that were here when we started this thing, right? And it took nearly 10 years, right? We started having Saturday night services, once a month Saturday night services in June of 2008. We had our first Sunday morning in September of 2008. So it took nearly 10 years before this dream that God gave me way back then would come to fruition. And there was a whole lot of twists and turns along the way before we got there. So I just say that to you to just want you to think, if you know if God has given you a dream, if there's something that he's put inside of you, a vision for something, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen immediately. Sometimes it takes a while, right? And I guarantee you, you won't get there the way that you anticipated. A lot of times God takes us on these trips in different ways that we would have never anticipated to arrive at the right place at the right time. And some of that delay is getting a whole bunch of other things in place, prepared. And some of that delay is getting you prepared, right? Because some of us may have a dream, and so we think that we're ready for that dream. And the reality is, that ain't a reality, right? A lot of times God gives you a dream, and you ain't even close to being ready for it. So he's like, here's the dream. I want to deposit this in you, but we got a little bit of work to do, right? And so a lot of that was preparing me before we ever got here. So, you know, I got to say this, though. I'm very proud, and, you know, I hesitate to say that, right, because pride's like a really bad thing in a lot of ways, but it also can be good. You know, I always think, every time I think about pride or mention that word, I always remember my dad used to always say, I pride myself on being humble, you know. Some of you were smart enough, you got that. The rest of you, right, there's going to be an IQ test downstairs for next week. Anyway, I just want to say this. I am very proud of who Real Life Chapel has become. And I didn't say what it has become. I said who it has become. Because Real Life Chapel is about a congregation and a body. It is about the people. It's not about the place. There's a big difference, right? And I am proud of who we are becoming. Now, are we perfect? Not by a long shot, right? Take a look around. You can take a look around. Don't stare at anybody. They'll think you're picking them out, right? But we are far from perfect, but we're going places. We're making a difference, and people's lives are changing, right? But we still have a lot of growing to do, right? I mean, we got a lot of growing in a lot of different ways to do. But I'm very proud of the people that we're becoming. I want to share some things with you, and again, these are just some numbers, but I want you to know what you've accomplished, some of the things that you've accomplished. Some of these you might go, yay, some of these you might go, I don't care, you know. Look, you produced 454 shoeboxes this year for Operation Christmas Child, right? That's a big deal. You know, we were at a church earlier this week that's literally 10 times the size of us. And they only doubled that number. So I want you to think about that, right? You gave $10,000 this year in benevolence to address critical needs within our congregation, to families and couples and individuals in serious need. You gave $10,000 toward that, to help that. One of the things that I mentioned at the beginning of the last year, that we wanted to focus on our mortgage, it was one of those things that we just felt like was holding, being held over our head and was keeping us from reaching some of the, you know, the things that we wanted to accomplish in ministry. And I want to tell you that this year you paid $53,000 directly on the principal of the mortgage this year, just this year, right? So some of you participated, some of you didn't. It's awesome. Some of you have the chance to be awesome this year. Some of you aren't awesome right now, but you still have a chance. You still have a chance, right? Just think if you participated, what we could have done, right? But we did. We had a couple people from the congregation gave some very generous gifts directly toward that to get rid of that, to get that from underneath. It's not gone, right? So don't feel like, oh, man, we're doing good. Right? No, we were almost doing great, but you didn't participate. Sorry, I was trying to compliment you guys. Hey, that's a big deal, man. right? I mean, because when you pay $53,000 directly on the principal thing, that means you're still paying $15,000-$18,000 on interest, right? It takes a lot to get rid of this, right? And we want to get rid of this because that's not, we don't want to be held hostage by a mortgage, right? We want to do ministry. So, you know, congratulations on doing that. And then you guys gave nearly $2,000 this year, as Sharon said last week, to Choices Pregnancy Center, right? Over $1,600 on our Christmas Eve offering where we raise money for Choices every year. You gave over $3,200 to the Impact Church plant this year, right? To help another church get started over in Marysville, Maryland. You sent a team to NACA again out in Arizona, the Native American Christian Academy, to work and to witness. And you guys, more importantly than those monetary numbers, you guys stepped up this year. When some of our spiritual family here faced devastating loss, and you guys demonstrated the love of Jesus Christ. And I am proud of you guys for that. That's the most important thing we can do, is when others are hurting or they're going through devastating loss, to step into those spots that they just really at the moment can't deal with, and they need people to help. And we had people that did that. Not everybody participated in that. Some of you are awesome. Some of you still have the chance to become awesome, right? Just want to encourage you. You still have an opportunity. Don't feel like, man, I missed it. You missed that one. There'll be more, right? We always need help when those situations come up. There are people sitting to your left, to your right, in front of you, and behind you that have needs, right? We all do. Some of us want to admit it. Some of us don't, right? And some of us may have different needs. Right? Some of you may not be in a financial crisis, a monetary crisis, but you may be struggling relationally, right? You may be struggling with an addiction. That's what this is for, to help with those things. Anyway, I want you to look back at the second passage, Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, you know, we all know what the mission of the church is, right? I mean, I've stated this over and over again when I talk about real life discipleship, that we don't have to come up with any clever phrase. We don't have to make up. We don't have to really dive deep to try to somehow mine out what the mission of the church is. It's very simple, right? We find it in Matthew 28, go and make disciples, okay? Pretty straightforward. But I want to share this verse because I think this verse kind of helps explain why we do some of the things we're doing. This is Paul's words in Colossians 1, 28 and 29. He says this. He says, he's talking about he and his fellow compadres, right? So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why, here's what Paul says, that's why I work and I struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Now, there's a couple of things that I want us to see in that verse, because that's a really powerful two verses there. They really share a lot of things. There's words in there, and I hope you heard the words in there. Like he said, tell. We tell everyone about Christ, right? So tell, it's a verb. There's action going on there. Warning, right? Warning people, right? Teaching people. Then he says he works, he struggles, and depending. So what I want you just to hear in those few words that are in there, this is not some passive experience, right? You just don't sit back, sit in a chair, sit on a couch somewhere, and wait for God to do this work on you. If you're waiting for that, you'll be waiting a long, long time, right? This is not a passive relationship. This is an active relationship, right? Paul nowhere sits in there. We just sat, we prayed and waited, and then God changed us. I'm not saying those aren't components. Those are components. There's times we have to wait on the Lord, right? There's times that waiting doesn't mean this. Waiting means this. Waiting, I'm serving, right? We have an active role in this relationship. But it's not just our strength. It's not just human activity. We can't accomplish these things that are going to make a world of a difference just in and of ourselves. It's a partnership. It's a partnership where we have an active role. But there's the other piece of it, right? He's telling them, warning them. What's he telling them, teaching them? About Christ. We got to tell people about Christ, about Jesus. It's not just about five ways to do this better. It's not about seven different steps to living a better life. You can get that out there. You can get that anywhere. I'm not saying those are wrong or unimportant, but that's not going to change your eternal destiny. You got to tell people about Jesus. And the way that we're equipped to do that is the wisdom, he said, wisdom that was coming from God. Right? So we can't just depend upon our own wisdom, but we're going to be actively involved in this relationship, but we're still dependent upon God working in us and God giving us the wisdom that we need. Christ's mighty power is what he says in that verse. It's a partnership. And then this favorite thing, and I know some of you guys either got really warm and good feelings about the word, or some of you just kind of like, you don't even know why, but you kind of arch your back when you hear the word perfect, right? I mean, Paul said he wants to present. Why does he do all these things? Why are they working and teaching and warning? Because they want to present the people that they're working with, they want to present them perfect in their relationship to Christ. Now, I have no doubt that we have within this group of people, we have probably a handful of perfectionists, right? So you have like this love-hate relationship with perfection, right? Because you're always going after it, and yet it's always kind of out of reach, right? But, you know, you heard the word, and you were just kind of like, that sounds like a goal that needs to be achieved, right? Then there are other you just, you know, you kind of like wince at that. You're like, nobody's perfect. I can't be perfect. That's because you're lazy. You won't do anything anyway. But, you know, you're just like, oh, well, that's being legalistic, right? Well, sorry, it's in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. And this is on the other side of the cross and the empty tomb. Call it what you want, right? I am just blown away by today how the church views obedience as legalism. Open the book, read the stinking thing. Follow what it says. God does care about the way you conduct your life. You know, you can't just pick out the little verses that you like. Again, that's where we end up with the quilts on the wall and all the needlepoint stuff and the wonderful things that make us feel warm and fuzzy. And every one of them are usually taken 99% of the time out of context. But they make you feel good. That's precious, right? That word doesn't even sound right coming out of my mouth. Precious. I think I could do the Lord of the Rings guy that, precious. So, I don't know. Anyway, we want, you know, here's the thing. We want to present you. This is why we do a lot of things that we're doing here. We want to present you. I'm talking about, when I say we, I'm talking about the leadership here. We want to present you perfect in your relationship to Christ. Now, perfect. Whew. That's a tough word. You know, I shared this yesterday with a group. You know, we had this one professor in Bible college. And we were talking about this whole thing. Christian perfection, right? Christian perfection. And it was interesting. He was an incredible guy, but he was kind of an odd guy, right? Professors kind of tend to be like that. I told the group I was meeting with yesterday, I was like, he had this whole, flamingo, you would call it, the flamingo. He had this like flamingo thing he did. You know, it was just bizarre, and sometimes it was distracting. They had a podium, one of these podiums that had the little opening shelf here. You know what I'm talking about? When somebody's standing, it's got like a little opening here, you can put papers in or whatever. This guy would somehow put his knee up in this thing. And he would stand on one foot for the whole class. I mean, it was just his thing. That's what he did. And we would just be like, He's going to fall. I know he's going to fall. Didn't, but. And he had this other habit. He used to take a pen. And he had the habit, maybe you know somebody does this. I was looking around, see if we had a pen. Nobody would want it afterward. He would sit there and he would talk and he would do, you know, he just kind of nibble on the end of that pen. Have you ever seen people that do that? They just kind of like nibble, yeah. Right? And then, you know, you're like, you're looking around, I need a pen. And they always go, oh, well, here it is. And you're like, right? So he used to do that all the time. He would nibble his pen. And so, you know, we would always see he had his pen up here on the podium. And man, it just like his teeth marks all around it. And so you knew embedded in that. It was like all kinds of viruses and stuff or something in there, right? I was just like, man, I can't get near that pen, you know. But we were sitting there talking, and he shared with us. He said, look, you know what? The word in there, when it talks about being perfect, it comes from a Greek word, teleos. And he says, you know, this pen. He said, this pen is perfect. We were like, I don't know, man. You know, and he was like, look, it's got flaws. It's even got scars. But then he took it and he held up a piece of paper and he started writing with it. And he said, you see that? This pen is perfect. He said, because it's doing what it was created to do. He said, when you and I are doing what we were created to do, and that is worshiping God and walking out a relationship with God, then in that sense, we are perfect. Not without flaws, not without scars, but we are teleos. That's what we want to do. We want to present people in that fashion. We don't want churched people. Man. If you just want to be church, please pick another one. There's plenty of places you can do that. There are more fancy people that you can rub elbows at other places. I will tell you that. I want you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want this thing to get real, to be real. And that requires humility, submission. Yeah. A lot of things. I want to see us transformed. Transformed. That's why we offer things like this, like the Strength Finders training and emotional intelligence training. You go, well, that's not spiritual. No, but it helps people become more self-aware. It's part of helping develop their character, right? That's why we partner with Mosaic, Shore Mosaic, to provide marriage seminars, to try and help people with their relationships. That's why we continue to encourage involvement in life groups and we offer the discipleship training. Help people to grow. Find out where they're at. Find out what they need. That's why we continue to partner with Choices Pregnancy Center. That's why we continue to partner with Operation Christmas Child. That's why we continue to partner with Talbot Interfaith Shelter and Talbot Goes Purple Movement. These are all aspects and pieces of what God wants to do in us and do through us. And that's why we do these things. That's why you hear about these things. Because we want to be able to present you perfect in a relationship with Jesus Christ, doing the things that He has created you to do. That's why we gather for worship and prayer and fellowship here together. It's important. It's important. I want you to look at this next verse. And, of course, this is written a little bit different than everybody probably knows it. If you know this, if you don't have any other verse memorized, most people have got this one, right? Because they've heard it so many times. But an absolutely fantastic, beautiful verse in the Bible. Right? John 3:16. The way it's written here, it says, for God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's an important, important verse. That's the gospel in there. And that's what we need to hear, and that's what we need to be sharing with other people. Right? But we got to tell them. You can't just sit and like wish that they're going to hear it, hope that they're going to hear it. You got to actually open your mouth and have words come out and tell someone. See, it's kind of, you know, this verse is such a beautiful verse that everybody knows. And I know that's not in the format. Most of you might even be having trouble right now because your brain's fighting with what you're seeing on the screen, right? Because you know it is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, you know, believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's what most people, that's how we hear it. The same thing. Words a little bit different, same thing. Doesn't mean anything different. You know, and you can distill that down when we're looking at it, and you can really break it down and simplify it, and it encapsulates this whole thing, and it's basically saying that God loved, so God gave. Right? He so loved the world. He loved. God loved, so God gave his son. And if you will believe, you will receive. You can break it down that simple way. God loved, God gave, you believe, you receive. Right? That's what it's summarizing. So with this idea of believe, you know, that's something that we're going to take a little bit of a deep dive this coming year into. Because believing is more than just cognitive, right? It's more than just an academic thing. You know, believing is thinking, acting, and becoming like Jesus. That's the transformations that's taking place in us when we believe. And so we're going to be talking about that this year. We're going to be taking 30 weeks this year, 52 Sundays. We're going to be taking 30 of those Sundays this year. And our Sunday school, our children's ministry, our adult Sunday school class, as well as the pulpit, from this pulpit, we're going to be handling the same themes together, simultaneously at the same times, together for 30 of the 52 weeks this year. And we're going to be talking about, you know, 10 different themes of the way, things that we need to think in regards to our belief, that we need to believe, we need to think. We're going to talk about 10 different things that we need to be doing, our actions, and we're going to talk about 10 different things that we need to becoming. Right? And so we're going to talk about a lot of different topics this year. We're going to be talking about our identity in Christ. We're going to be talking about compassion. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to be talking about total surrender. We're going to be talking about self-control. We're going to be talking about patience. I really don't want to be here for that one, but I probably will be, right? Et cetera. There's a whole lot of stuff that you're going to be hearing about. But we want to cover these things because we need to know. We need to understand, you know? God wants to transform our lives. So, I want to look at this last verse. Before I refer to it, I want to read something. Also in Romans, this isn't going to be on the screen. Because you guys, any of you that have been around here very long, know that this is one of my favorite verses. Right? Romans 6:23. Yeah. This is like one verse evangelism right here. You can take one verse and just, you know, sum up the whole thing. But it's funny, I want to drop back, and I want to just read something to you from Romans chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. So this is prior to the 6:23 thing, right? But Romans 4, verses 4 and 5 says this. Paul speaking in Romans, he says this. He said, and this sets it up. He says, when people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. You understand that? Then we get to 6:23, where Paul is summing it up. Right? The gospel is good news, but again, as I've said many times before, sometimes we got to know the bad news in order to realize that the good news is good news. Right? Listen, we do all these things, and Paul talking about all of these things, this working and this struggling and depending and teaching and telling and warning. That's not about coming into relationship with Jesus Christ. What he's talking about, those who are in relationship with Jesus Christ. See, too often we just think that we're saved from something. And for most people, that's the end game. Right? They want the Willy Wonka thing. You want the golden ticket. I want the pass out of hell. That's it. That's what a lot of people are looking for. And if that's all you're looking for, you might end up gravely mistaken. See, we're not just saved from something, we're saved to something. We're saved to a relationship with God, to walk in relationship with Him, to grow and develop and become disciples, and to share our faith with others. And Romans 6:23, I just think, lays this out. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's a whole bunch going on in this one verse. I love this verse, right? There's bad news versus good news. Sin versus God. Death versus life, right? Wages versus gift. So here's the thing. The wages of sin is death. So the payment for sin is death. But this might require a little bit of unpacking. Right? Wages are something earned. It's what sin earns. Well, it doesn't say sins. It says sin. Right? It's not talking about our bad behaviors. It really isn't. It's not just talking about our bad behaviors or your addiction or your struggle with something. Right? We have a tendency to just think that's what it's talking about. No, it says sin, not sins, because what it's talking about is the disease that every one of us have. Right? You got this disease called sin. Now, maybe you don't understand. I'll help someone. That's called a default system. You know what a default system is. You guys know what that is. It means you ain't got to do nothing. It's already in play. It's already happening. The wages of sin is death, meaning the payment or the result of this condition, this disease we have called sin, is death. It's not talking about the grave. We're all going to see that if we're not here when He returns. It's talking about a death which is a separation from God. So the result, the payment, what the result, the wages of this default system that's in play, this disease that we have, is separation from God. You don't have to do a thing, and you can get that. In fact, you're already going to get that if you don't do a thing. The good news is there's an option available. You don't have to just stay with a default system. There's an option that has been made available to every one of us, because that's the condition we're in. That is our status. But an option has been made available. A free gift. Meaning, guess what? You can't earn it. You can't work hard enough. You can't be good enough. In fact, as hard as you work at being good, you will never be good enough. Now, some of you I know right now, you're like, okay, then I ain't got to be good. That's awesome. Right? That's not the point. You will never be good enough. You can't earn salvation. It's a gift, and it's a gift that you have to accept. You have to receive. Oh, and by the way, just because a gift's offered doesn't mean it's received. Some of you have had the gift offered. It's been sitting on your doorstep wrapped up for 20 years. You ain't never bothered to open it. So you never received the gift. Some of you think because the wrapped up gift is sitting on your doorstep that you're good to go. Oh yeah, I heard about that. Jesus offered a gift. I know about that. I believe. Right? And we do know Scripture tells us that even the demons believe. Ain't changing their eternal destiny. So there's this free gift available to us. There's this option. We don't have to just deal with that. We have an option available to us. It's absolutely free. All we have to do is receive it. We just receive it in faith. That's it. And then we don't have to deal with the death, the separation from God, but we get something that's eternal life. Eternal life with Him. Oh, there is one caveat. It only comes in one way. It's very intolerant. There's only one. It comes through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. There is no other name under heaven which has been given by which we must be saved. It's only by placing our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sin that we get off of the default plan and secure the option. I don't know where you're at this morning. But I hope you take that seriously. You have an opportunity right now. You have an opportunity in front of you right this minute, right now, to change your eternal destiny. To start on a new path, to change your life, the trajectory of your life. Or you can just go, I'm fine, thank you, no thank you. Not a scare tactic, but that helicopter's been flying around pretty busy today. And there's some people that didn't know their day was going to be like it has already been. Right? You know, I don't know. Maybe you're here and your situation might be different than that. Maybe you're not a thank you, no thank you. Maybe you're just so well churched. You think you're good to go. Don't ever for a second think that membership in the church saves you. Don't ever think that dropping a few bucks in the bucket saves you. Don't ever think that showing up and sitting in one of these seats saves you. Don't ever think that, oh, yeah, I think God is real, saves you. Doesn't. Placing your faith and placing your trust in the one, the only one, Jesus Christ, and accepting the free gift that He's offering you. That's what saves you. Oh yeah, I forgot one. Oh, the water thing, that don't save you either. Right? There are unsaved people to get wet. There are saved people to get wet. You just get wet. Oh, yeah, we're going to do this in a minute, too. Guess what? The cracker and the juice, it don't save you either. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ alone. So this morning, you don't have to do anything. I'm not going to say, oh, man, you got to come down here and you got to kneel here. I'm not asking you to do that. What I'm asking you is right now, right where you're at, I want you to think about what your situation is, what your eternal address, what your eternal destiny is, what is the trajectory of your life right now. Be honest with yourself. It doesn't matter. You don't have to impress anybody here. That doesn't do anything. Maybe you're sitting here and you know what? Are you done playing the game? Are you done pretending? Man, how many people pretend? They do the church thing week after week, month after year after year. Maybe you're here and you've just been running from God. Right? You know the truth, you know the reality, but you're just not done being on the throne of your life. See, that's a biggie for people. I don't know what your situation is, but I know what it can be. I know what it can be. We're going to move to communion here in just a moment. But before we do that, I would ask you to do some serious business with God. And you know, only you know, what business that is you need to do. Maybe you need to ask forgiveness, right? Maybe you need to ask for help. Maybe this morning you need to ask for Jesus to come into your life and give you that gift of eternal life, the one that there's no way you can pull up. And work hard to gain. I'd like everybody to bow their head, close your eyes. I'd like us to pray. And doing whatever business is you've got to do. I don't know what that is. And look, it's not about muttering all kinds of fancy, you know, 50-cent dollar words. It's not about, you know, speaking in King James or Shakespearean English. It's not about any of that. It is about being completely honest and humble before God. You might as well get real with him because he already knows what the reality is. He knows what your deepest need is right now. He knows the condition of your heart. I'm not talking about the muscle that pumps your blood. I'm talking about your soul. If you're here this morning and you know that, you know, Jesus to come into my life, really. I've never surrendered. I've never said, you know, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. If that's you, I want to invite you to just pray. I'm going to say a prayer. And again, there's no magic words. That's not what it's about. I just want to help you articulate something if you're not sure how to say it. And I would ask just to yourself that you would pray these words. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Lord, heal me from the disease of sin. Please come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. And give me the gift of eternal life. Trust in you, and I accept the gift that I could never earn. I love you for loving me. And I ask this in the precious name of Jesus.